Hello, sexies. You are listening to Sisters of Sexuality, Five Shades of Play, and I am Taylor Sparks, your host and sex goddess for the evening. We are here for the purposes of educating, entertaining, and informing you in all areas of sexuality, sexual health, kink, relationships, and the business of sex. I am so excited, as I am each week, to welcome a new guest. But before I bring him on, let me give you a little bit about him. Aaron Michael, author of Optimal Sex Life, creator of Bedroom Masterclass and Sex and Intimacy Coach, has dedicated himself to helping others discover, explore, and integrate their sexual sovereignty by providing a no BS adult sex positive sex education. As the founder of Suction Sex, a new method for the embodiment of penetrative sex, he created the Bedroom Masterclass online courses to support individuals to be able to give and receive ecstatic pleasure, as well as enhance their mental and physical arousal. Aaron is sought out for his innovative approach to resolving issues such as genital pain, oopsie, and orgasmia, premature ejaculation, penetration anxiety, mismatched arousal, and mental arousal. His method is at the core of the Kama Sex App practices and tools, while also contributing to the research and creation of a medical protocol for transforming sexual dysfunction. He has a MA in cognitive semiotics, where he specializes in adult romantic attachment, courtship, and how the brain interprets love. With over 15 years of experience as an embodiment coach in the field of dating, relationships, and sex, he crafts bespoke embodiment programs for you and your loved ones, or as I like to say, for you and the bodies you love to love. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Okay, so with all this sex and intimacy, my first question is, are you ethically non-monogamous or monogamous or ethically monogamous?
I would say that my relationship status is a bit more dynamic, I guess, in the sense that it really changes with different times and phases of my life.
Is that a yes or a no?
Right now, I'm pretty monogamous to work.
Tell me about it. Tell me about it. I was like, this bitch has got me tied down, which is my work, my business. And she's a greedy bitch. She's like, I want all of your attention. I'm like, no, I'm ethically non-monogamous. I can't give you all my attention. She's like, oh, I'm taking it all. So let's go back to how this all started. Like, first, like, why sex? And why sex education? I mean, where did you decide? When did you decide that this was your course in life?
Well, I don't know if it maybe started when I was a very young kid and was just already interested in sex. And I remember like the other kids of the neighborhood and us just kind of having interests of like looking at each other and naming and touching and doing what, you know, right now almost seems like it could be some version of a workshop or a party. And so I think from day one, I've had people coming up and asking me lots of different questions. And I also had a very strong interest in massage. And I think the combination of those two really brought specific angles to my career in this industry. And a lot of what I've brought has actually come from hands-on experience, helping people deal with things such as pain as well as trauma and being able to release that and noticing then how the body, as this process naturally releases in the most difficult cases, can also give us a lot of insight into how the body can also begin to release into some of its most ecstatic states. And I'd say probably the thing that's most interesting is where people think the difficult work is allowing themselves to come in touch with the negativity and the past and the trauma. Actually, what I've noticed with clients, the thing that's most difficult, regardless of where you are on the spectrum, is can you embrace the deservedness, not having the shame, and also being able to trust your full capacity around pleasure.
Okay. And that was a lot. That was a lot. But so when during sex, early on, wait, how old are you, Aaron? Are you going to tell me how old you are?
Wow. I haven't even thought about it. Let me calculate, because I'm one of those people that do forget my age. So.
Oh my God. Normally, wait, this way, are you honestly, over 30?
I have people, yes, I'm over 30. People tell me when my birthday is coming up. It's just never been one of the things.
Are you out of your 30? Are you over 40?
Yes, I'm 42. I'll be turning 43 this year.
Oh, just a baby.
This is the reason why people then don't end up telling their age, I guess.
No, that's a good thing. It's a good thing.
It's okay. I understand that you actually enjoy the younger flesh. So
No. The younger flesh actually enjoy me. Okay. It's not that I don't enjoy them, but they keep coming for me. So I love those.
I think it's so important, though. It's actually quite rare to be with somebody that can actually give you an experience that is going to help make you a better lover. And I think a lot of younger men would do very well and be very wise to learn early on, because this is going to then become an art form they'll develop over their lifetime. And frankly, it's very, very rare. And this is when I work with women clients, I am helping them a lot of times learn the importance of taking their pleasure, because it's a very rare time that a man has an opportunity to see what is it like when a person's actually taking their pleasure and then learning what it is that they like. So that way, then when you give, you're actually doing something that's going to be pleasurable for that person, as opposed to your idea of it, when in truth you're actually just taking when you're trying to give, because it's not, again, for them. But you've hardly ever had that opportunity to see it. So this is the reason why women like you are definitely a blessing.
You know what? I feel that way. I feel as though I've blessed a soul or two in my life. So let's go back to you, because you compliment me and then I'll be naked on air. When you started to, you know, like when you started to develop, like, so you're having sex and you're realizing that you're running into either your lovers, your girlfriends, your wife, and that they're having challenges from pastime, whether it's trauma or just even challenges and even understanding themselves sexually. What was it that made you decide that this is something that I need to help women figure out for themselves, not just because you want to get the best of them from them, but so that even if you all didn't end up 10 years later, that they would still go on and be able to have enjoyable sex, both mentally, physically, and spiritually, if you will. So what was it, that one thing that made you go, I want to help her or them figure it out?
Having people come to me for such a long time just to speak about different things. And I think maybe because I don't have a judgmental attitude on different ways people experience, or even things that they've had that have happened past, or that they're even thinking about they may want to go into in the future. Mm-hmm. And because of that, over time, I think that people just became very comfortable then asking these type of questions. And one more time, the question.
What made, when you were having sex with these particular women, what was it that made you want to decide to develop something to help them have better sex physically, spiritually, and mentally?
It didn't really develop that way. It wasn't in the sense that I was out like meeting different people and then this was something that was brought to me. It was actually quite a distinct relationship where I was with my wife. The time we're currently separating, we're very great friends. And at the time, though, when we'd just gotten married, and it was the winter time, and we are very high up in the world, so we're in Scandinavia, and it's very dark. There's a good amount of diet change. A whole bunch of things happened And all of a sudden, sex started to become painful. And the interesting thing was, in terms of that time of life, when we've now kind of revisited this and spoken about it, is with sort of what was sex and what did it mean as a part of society? And then that big shift actually started to create a physical shutdown. Mm-hmm. And from there, I had been then doing my master's in cognitive semiotics, where I'm understanding, well, how does the brain begin to interpret meaning? And one of the most important things is actually looking at where the idea of, and with Wertheimer, and the idea of gestalt, and the actual meaning of that, that the whole are more than the sum of the parts, and understanding that the mind is embodied, meaning that there is not a separation between the mind and body, but
right,
when you talk about
everything, the mind is connected.
Everything is connected. And so some of the popular books maybe is that, like, the issues are in the tissues, this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, this became a very real part of my reality. And there was really no, I mean, I think the best advice you're kind of would be hearing is stuff around, like, vibrators, lube, give more orgasms. And this was actually creating more shutdown. And then from there, starting to unfold this mystery, I was very fortunate to have different people come along in my life in the geographic region that I was in, because I would say one of the first significant steps was my wife had gone to a midwife who had actually quit being a midwife because she wasn't these kind of, like, physical hands-on technique were not being taught in the hospitals. And so she said, okay, well, I can help a lot more people this other direction. Right. And became very good friends over time, and also then did a lot of work together. And expanding on that, there was maybe around about a year time period where I was just giving sessions away for free and helping different people that all of a sudden were coming into my life. It was rather inexplicable. There was maybe a 3-month period where 50 people came to me. And then eventually I started to call professionals and say, hey, there seems to be a lot of people that are dealing with this issue. It also happens to correspond with my wife. And this is something that needs to be addressed. And they would say, well, there maybe go to a therapist or go to a doctor or go to a psychologist or a sexologist. And actually it kept getting passed, and it came down to the point that they didn't have that. And actually most of them were women themselves. And they would say, actually, I'm someone that has this as well as clients. And they would ask me to receive a session.
Right. This is the pain and that they were having during sex.
It could be pain, numbness, maybe a sense of boredom as well. Mm-hmm. So there's a psychological and physical relationship between numbness and boredom.
Yes.
There's also a psychological relationship between the pain and anger, which sometimes then can be repressed, which then leads towards a numbness. So most of the time, it's actually the numbness waking up that we feel the pain, and then we will stop, as opposed to sort of like when you're getting a deep tissue massage, allowing that to release, as well as the emotional progression that goes through with it. And so these are some of the things that start to get stored, especially in areas that get touched too soon or in ways that are actually difficult for the tissues, or simply from the wrong relational, emotional space. It's not just physical, again, because we're talking about the
both. Everything's connected. Everything is connected. And I say this a lot to people. I'm like, this is about being in the alignment, and why some women and some men are not having the sex that they could be having, whatever that sex is for them, that it's not enjoyable for them in the way they would like to have it, because they have a lot of disconnect because of trauma, because of pain. And the body is amazing how it will express its trauma. And sometimes that is through pain. It could be emotional trauma, but it will give you pain in that way. This is just, so wait, just so I understand, cognitive semiotics is, in one sentence, definition.
Cognitive semiotics is the study of meaning from a brain science or a cognitive science perspective. Mm-hmm. Meaning, how do we interpret meaning from the space that we're in? Now, traditionally, it would be from the brain space, but mm-hmm. if you understand that the whole being is a living, thinking organism, mm-hmm. that you then are interpreting the rest of the world around you. And so some of the topics then that I become very interested in is, well, if we have these concepts such as love, like for instance, play with me here. Okay. If you were to close your eyes and just mm-hmm. start to describe, drop in, like to start to name words that come to mind that would help to define love.
That would help to define love.
Yes.
Sex and lots of it. Mm-hmm. Touch and lots of it. Mm-hmm. Acts of service and lots of it. Mm-hmm. Kissing and lots of it. Travel and lots of it. Love and lots of it. I'm an extreme extrovert, so everything I want is lots of it.
One thing I love about that is that it's clear that you're speaking a lot of different types of tactile touch. Sex was something that came up many, many times. Yep. Also mentioned yes. these acts of service, such as maybe getting you a ticket and flying you somewhere to the world and giving you a treatment, you know, and it's like the queen that you okay. are. And then these type of things. So now I'm going to ask you from a different perspective, though, as well. Mm. What are the attributes that you would consider as part of love that could be things you would look for in a relationship or when you think of love? It could be, for instance, I'll give you one. Honesty.
Mm. Authentic honesty. It has to be authentic honesty.
Or maybe
being
like
open-minded. Mm-hmm. Yeah, trust, open-minded. Mm-hmm. And when I say open-minded, meaning open-minded, not just to relationships, meaning open-minded to the world, not, I find people being stuck in generalizations. Mm-hmm. All Europeans are this, and all Black people are that. And I'm like, no, because our individual worlds are so small. Yes. Sex. And lots of it. Someone who enjoys it, literally. Did I say sex?
Yes, you did say sex.
Okay. All right. So honesty, open-mindedness, yes, trustworthy.
This isn't like, this doesn't have to be an extensive list. This could just
it's my list. I've been accused of being pretty much like a dude. It's like, just feed her and give her sex and she's really happy, you know. Take her shopping and, you know, go on a trip with her, carry some shit, you know.
Well, this is something I think you'll like then, because you think about, well, how then do these words, these concepts actually get embodied then in the act of sex? How do we embody love through the act of sex? This became something that became very interesting to me. Because if we are built on a lot of the different habitual things that we do with our body, mm-hmm. then if we're actually having sex that's only kind of displaying a particular type of love, but we're desiring something else, then there's going to be a misalignment. There's going to be dissonance between what we mentally want, what our psyche's asking for, and then for what we are embodying in our bodies. And so there's going to be a conflict. And I think that a lot of times we can see this where there's a whole narrative around sort of romance. And then you have in pornography only being displayed a lot of times, and it's getting much better, of course. And I say only, I'm making vast generalizations, mm-hmm. but more of the lustful aspects. And there's nothing wrong with that, because I think a lot of people could actually bring a lot more lustful art to everyday life. But yes, there's also a need for an ability to show many other flavors in love. So for instance, honesty, the ability to, when you're actually having sex, have not just state what it is that you honestly want. So this is going beyond consent now. This is actually embodying it. And embodiment of consent is one thing that I speak a lot about, was how do you express your yes and your no with your body? And an understanding that it actually is the antennae to begin to receive and understand what it is that I want. So as opposed to going to our heads and being stuck in our heads and trying to think about, do we like or not, we can actually sense and feel it through our body. Allow these two things to become connected. It gives better expression, but it also gives us a better understanding. So you could go through, for instance, all these different things, such as you mentioned, open-mindedness, the ability for a person to go beyond just their perspective of what it is that's going to feel good for you, and categorizing you as every single woman, and this is how you get pleased because I know I'm a guy, versus unfold that treasure map to me. Let's go and explore and go on adventures and find new things.
Now, interestingly enough, you know, I talk to a lot of men, and a lot of men come to me about, you know, the women and themselves, but I have found that being a person who educates in the ethical non-monogamy community, primarily with the swinger community, where you have a lot of open-minded people and a lot of people having all kinds of new experiences and old experiences with sex. And then on occasion, some of these, especially some of the single guys who are swingers, then date monogamous women because, you know, they're single, they date everyone. But they have then discovered that a lot of these, when they say to that woman, unfold this map for me, you know, how can I please you? What pleases you? What they get back is, don't ask me any questions, just do what you do.
Well, this is what, I mean, I think the importance of, when you get into embodiment, then you could also ask, well, what does the embodiment of discovery look like? How can we start to learn based off of the body? And these are actually very important principles. And so, I mean, we could talk about what I would suggest for that, but absolutely.
Please, what would you suggest for that?
Well, I mean, first of all, I think it's very important the ability to actually be aware of the other person's breath. And so you can enter into a certain rapport of being able to actually match that breath. And then I think one of the things that is very appealing is the ability to help downregulate and relax and bring the person into their body. And that happens by slowing your breath down just a bit.
Correct.
And helping to guide them, that person. So you already step into that relationship of guiding, and then from there you also will notice that as you breathe you have a gentleness to the way that your body will start to rock. This is an excellent thing if you were, for instance, maybe holding a person from behind and watching a movie or whatever, and just allowing your full breath to fill up your chest as well as your stomach. And if you're real good, your pelvic floor, we can get into that. And then relaxing it. And now I'm not talking about squeezing. I think a lot of people will think of it that way, but instead we're a balloon. We fill up and expand in every direction. If you see how any of the kind of, see like how actually a baby breathes, you see like actually the backside around the kidneys even come out and breathe. And this is, if you think how we then breathe, we then rock and relax. It creates this rhythm between you and the other person. And I think even understanding then space as well is the, from the heart, the stomach to the stomach, and the hips to the hips, and getting that we have an emotional place, we have trust, body trust, and we have these erotic connections. And these are some of just the basic things that we can start to break down and notice, you know, is the person, we talked about it just a second ago with the embodiment of consent, is their body opening itself towards you,
like a lotus flower
closing precisely, and be able to play a little bit with spacing and see what kind of responses are there. you know, how are things being responded to touch in terms of working from the inside out and seeing, is this something that a person wants or not?
So I think that is ideal for someone who's interested in dating and in someone. I don't know how that might come off for someone who, and only because the guy might not have that, the capabilities that you have, meaning that he doesn't know what to do with a
woman.
Where
are we starting, I guess, then? Are we talking about a swinger club where they're already
not
touching?
Even a swinger club. I mean, not even a swinger club. Just
that was the frame that we had in my mind because you said the guy, you know.
No, I'm saying that the guy, so I'm saying that this man may be a swinger. So he's used to being with women who, a lot of women in the lifestyle, they kind of know what they want. I mean, there's some that don't, yes. Not everybody, right? But a lot, they know what they want. They know what kind of sex they want. They can easily say, listen, do this. But then they step outside of that environment and back into monogamy and meet a girl on Tinder, Bumble, or whatever. They have a date. They hit it off. They decide to get together. And then sex is going to ensue. And here this man is a man of, you know, in the lifestyle community who's used to a woman saying, hey, this is how I would like you to, this here's my map. And they, and a lot of monogamous women, not all, do not know how to just say, this is what pleases me. So this is a man, with a woman that he barely knows. They don't, you know, they're connected only enough to have sex, but they're not connected enough to like, let's, you know, sit with me and let's breathe and let's watch a movie and let's see if we can get in alignment. When he's like, I'm just going to give me some pussy and go home. So,
well, actually, you know, I built a little mini course that I was going to talk about at the end of our listening. Welcome to it.
Tell me.
That literally breaks down what is the understanding of the anatomy as a system of pleasure.
Yes.
So that way we're not just getting a little like push here, push there, but how are all this whole internal organs, this
connected?
Whole internal system. No, but I'm actually speaking particularly about the CUV complex, the clitoral urethro-vaginal complex, which is understanding that the whole womb space and vaginal walls, as well as the clitoris and legs, are all connected. And all of a sudden you begin to understand what these arguments a lot of times around, well, is there such a thing as the anatomical spot of the G-spot versus, actually, you know what, this is several structures that are coming together and being pressed, and it is more of a pressure zone or pressure point, or you can call it a pleasure point, as you then bring the urethral sponge, the cobalt venous plexus, the clitoral
say it,
as well as the perineal sponge, the skeet gland, and then even bringing so all this area, though, honestly, though, is getting pressed against the pubic bone. So anyways, as you understand this as a system, you can become very much more creative. And then the next three videos are about what are the basic hand skills, mouth skills, and cock skills that you could have as a man, even if you were struggling with lasting longer or anxiety, because these are things that can come up for men. But so let's take like the deck and make it the worst thing possible.
Sure,
if I
could
give you four videos, this would be it, because it will literally help you begin to, again, as I was sort of doing with you, that idea of breathing and getting the person to move. If you can in general get a woman's body to become active so that she's not in a frozen state, this is going to, it's as if it's like being able to speak in a conversation without just having to sit in silence. Silence is what gets things to be awkward. We don't have much to engage each other. But then when we start to speak, we reach a natural rhythm. The same thing with the body. The body needs the ability to breathe, the ability to move. I mean, we talk about domination and submission and all these things.
Right.
It could be very easy to do from just an embodied state when you start to help a person begin to breathe more, begin to move more, begin to use and allow their voice to come out more. Any way that you can be helping a woman go into that state, she is going to want to naturally surrender into, because these things are pleasurable.
These are pleasurable. So fellas, if you're listening, and I know you are, these are techniques that really will, and I hate to say, you know, you know, put your game on another level, but this will put you on another level sexually. The videos, and we're going to talk about his book in a moment, that Aaron Michaels offers, it's, you know, at some point, guys, you got to do more than tagada, 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 tagada. There's more to it than that. And if you really want to learn how to pleasure your woman, your girlfriend, your women, especially if you are ethically non-monogamous and you do are, you know, are physically involved with more than one woman, being able to understand each woman's body as it is individual, even though we all have the same moving parts, so to speak, we're all receptive to it differently. The touch is going to be different. Some might like a little more pressure, some like a little less pressure, and where it is. So having a better field map, if you will really, really, really help you. So, but tell me about suction sex. What is suction sex? I think I know, but tell me anyway.
Well, suction sex is the at least physical component of part of how I work with embodiment and helping people navigate specifically penetration and the act of penetration. Okay. And that could be with a finger, it could be with a strap on a dildo, or with a good old fashioned penis. So that's what suction sex is really dealing with. There's a whole component of my work as well around mental arousal. But if we were to look though, just at the ability to, one, understand that sex in terms of penetration conceptually is not one directional. It is a bi-directional action, meaning that if you were to go ahead and put your food in your mouth, you're not just using the hand to bring and push that food down, but that your mouth, your throat, and everything is going to sit there and swallow that in. So we might want to even have a different visual of a snake eating a snake when we think of the act of sex.
Did you say blowjob? That's not what you said. Go ahead.
But the blowjob though would be your vagina doing the blowjob. And that's what I mean. And that brings us to number two, which is a sensational change. How do you create sensation? Well, the knowing that the vagina is like a mouth and can start to suck, and that a woman can become, as opposed to just passive, but an active receiver. And that a man is a giver as opposed to just a one bang, 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 bang. Maybe there's not even that much variety. But the thing that ends up changing is that you can become an adaptive giver as you start to orient around the sensation of suction, how to create it, how to keep it, and the tremendous amount of pleasure that goes way beyond that of just friction. Yes. Because it's not that, like, all of a sudden friction disappears, but if you do it from a place where there's suction and there's that connection, all of a sudden the length that sex can go for, that orgasm gap, that pleasure gap starts to disappear. And guess what, guys? It also means that you're going to last longer. You're going to have a lot less anxiety around having to get it up, having to keep it up, having to worry about coming too soon. And in terms of you women, the ability to actually open and bring in and actively bring someone in takes away tremendous layers of anxiety as well as fear. And these are things that we can even begin to practice on our own. And it becomes so important. In terms of the body, it doesn't really distinguish between you doing it or someone else doing it. If you're entering yourself too soon, or if you're trying to force yourself into orgasm, think of you. Many, would you actually date yourself if your masturbation habits were what you actually were then living out in your dating patterns? Well, you know, if let's say the date was this, the action. Well, that's good though. And that's amazing.
I know what I'm doing.
But if all though you ever had is just kind of jumping and then trying to deliver something, and there's nothing wrong with, you know, a quickie, but if all you're doing is trying to push yourself into orgasm and then try and fall asleep and you're not really beginning to condition and open the body and the tissues, there will be a tension and a stress that needs to then oftentimes be released. And how do we then start to do that with partners, et cetera?
Yes. Well, that's, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No.
No, I was, well,
I was going to finish and say that our masturbation will eventually give us the confidence as well as the knowledge to know ourselves better, which will make us much better at being able to show a partner than what it is that they could do to better bring us pleasure as well.
So, yes. So the suction sex and, mm-hmm. and its concepts and its techniques, I think would be, as you said, invaluable. I think I've been doing that for a long time, but didn't know what it was called. But I know that as I tell people as a sex goddess, I know that, you know, I believe that sex is extremely healing, both on the giving and on the receiving side. And sometimes you're the seed and sometimes you're the soil. You know, it really just depends on who needs what at the time. And being able to, even though having penetrative sex, I'm actually physically receiving, there is a way to still give during that act and to give this exchange of sexual energy, helping people heal, even though I'm the one being penetrated. So I think that is amazing for people to learn how to do. I have talked with guys about their anxiety, and one way that I have suggested, which you just mentioned, so to speak, was getting back into their five senses, because they get into their head. So if you're in your head during sex, your dick's like, well, if you're not going to participate, I'm just going to take a nap, you know, and they just, you know, they're just like, I'm not doing this, because, you know, you're someplace else. And it happens for women as well. We're just able to mask it easier because a lot of times we're receiving, you know, but sometimes the vagina will dry up during sex because, you know, we're ticking off a list in our head instead of being in our bodies fully.
One of the things, No, I'm sorry. Slowly. No, you were going to say that.
No, go ahead.
But I was going to say, one of the things that I really love to give to people in that position, especially when it comes to helping a guy connect to the five senses, is first of all, so addressing that you enjoy his penis in a limp state. And there's a really clear way to show this when you embody this. It's like, I like to call it painting. And you take that limp penis, or forget it, like soft penis, whatever word you want to use, and start to use it like a paintbrush, and notice how much pleasure you can get by wiping around the entire area, and even using it to massage the vulva, the cranium, the clitoris, like, and then the fact when you grab the base and you then start to pulse and squeeze blood into it, playing with the tip, you might even find a lot of your women go, hey, you know what? Don't get hard. I like to play with it like this. When a guy knows that you've become that level of friend and loving his penis in any state,
that's
going to go out the window. And it's a really great way to...
I have been following your program for so long now. Because this is so amazing. So yes, in the limp state, there is nothing more pleasurable, I believe, personally, I've experienced, than massaging the outer and inner lips of your vagina with it. I'm like, listen, don't move. You stay right there, because I got things to do. Because literally you can bring yourself to an orgasm without him ever penetrating you, by, even if you put a little of your own lubrication on the head of his penis and then just rub it all around and then rub it. Totally. It's like, there's so many things. But again, this goes to knowing your own body and not letting the fact that if it is a case of anxiety, you know, maybe it's his first time with the sex goddess and he's like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to perform that. You'll be fine. You know, and it could be anxiety and not harboring on it. Not like, what's wrong with you? You know, and not like, I thought you were going to be able to do better, you know, not making it worse for him because it's obvious. But for men, I like to say, don't keep pushing a wet noodle into a canal that's not going to get in, because it's a wet noodle. So sometimes men think that if they just keep doing this, you know, that like, it's not going in. Stop doing that. You know, and like you said, take a break, have a little play, let her do some massage, let her kiss it, whatever, but it's okay. It's not the end all, you know, to be all. And I think sometimes that comes with not only knowing your body, but it comes with maturity of knowing yourself and understanding that sex, all kinds of crazy things happens. Like sometimes you fall out of bed during the 69.
Well, no, if you also understand that, more suction that way, then you don't fall out of the bed. But or I guess maybe you both might if you're both just completely. But this is the thing, though, that actually, when you understand that the penetration isn't just one directional, you're also not just going to be pushing into the other person. So there are layers to this. And I think that we all kind of find like where we're at in that layer, because in terms of with men, what they actually need to learn a lot of times to do is manage their weight and the importance of spacing and actually reversing the hips. Because when you start to bring this more, you keep that suction seal and there's that motion going backwards and bringing everything forwards. All of a sudden now a lot of issues about needing to be the biggest or the hardest or the fastest is drastically going to change, because you're actually creating engorgement, which means that everything starts to fill up with blood, but also comes to the entrance. And this is something that we are not taught correctly, I would say, if we look at how the arousal system happens. We are told that the only way arousal happens inside a woman's body is that the cervix draws back up and away and into the body, and then helps to protect itself, as well as create a little sperm vesicle or a receptacle to get pregnant. Well, I've noticed that if you're not just banging into and in fact pushing the cervix back, it will become erect, just like a penis itself.
Yes.
And it will then start to send vibrations into the womb. But beyond that, as a woman then learns to, and this is another important aspect around how we breathe, because we sit in a sitting culture, we have a tendency to think that we are going to inhale and squeeze our pelvic floors to create sensation, as opposed to the ability to actually inhale, feel the belly expand, especially if we want to look quote unquote pretty, then we're going to not allow our belly to expand, allow that pelvic floor area to expand, which then creates that opening and also brings down the cervix to dilate itself and even grab. So there's all these areas of suction. So for a guy, if he is limp, then, or soft, his limp has a sense of like kind of impotence.
But as
a soft penis, you one can stay in. And if you start to even just begin to rock and grind or focus on making out, and a lot of times bringing in chest to chest connection, that belly to belly breathing, so that you're not so genitally focused, but just enjoying this amazingness. And so, for instance, as you say, go into the five senses with like your partner there, smell them, taste them, just go to massage. Also with the woman, the ability to sit there and suck and stimulate, even with a soft penis, while then the man is grinding, for instance, into the clitoris, these things are naturally going to allow for the penis to awaken. Now, there's kind of this Taoist saying of going in soft and coming out hard, meaning that the vagina actually can enjoy that expansion of being opened from the inside, which naturally means then the body's going to have the ability to meet from a much more equal state, as opposed to one being asleep and completely awake, and then even being able to last long enough and contain that energy to come out then hard, leaving both bodies wanting more and supercharging what some think is what they call a low libido or mismatched arousal.
Yeah, mismatched arousal. Let's talk about mismatched arousal, shall we? I've only experienced that once actually in my life. And thank goodness it was only once, but it was a long once. And the interesting thing about mismatched arousal, if you're the woman with the hot, and from the people I've spoken to in my own personal experience, if you're the woman with the higher libido, the higher desire, arousal, you can somehow be made to feel as though something is wrong with you. You can't get enough. Why don't you go to sleep? You treated me like a piece of meat.
They probably didn't have a problem with at the beginning.
Huh?
Which maybe they didn't have a problem with at the beginning.
Actually, but they probably did, but there goes the authentic honesty.
Yeah,
and, true. Right, there goes the authentic honesty and not being able to say we're mismatched sexually and not realizing how that could cause challenges 1, 2, 3, 25 years later.
Okay, so this was a lover then that you were, okay, yes, I see. This is more of a long-term relationship.
Long-term relationship. But even within the first 6 months, within the first 3 months, the signs are there that there's mismatch. But because you're caught up sometimes in NRE, right? New relationship energy, you're like, it doesn't matter, we're working, you know, that's not that important. But I believe that in most relationships, sex is important and it's very important. And some people have accepted the information that sex is not really that important. Mm-hmm. And then you get with someone that has been told, yes, sex is important. I've counseled many couples,
I think couples. Most relationships end up breaking up because they don't communicate or over economics or over sex.
Or over sex. And so other people I do coach, I'm like, you really have to figure this part out because it's important. You know, even if and it's important for the person with the lower libido, as well as it is with the person that with the higher libido. So for the people that you coach or counsel, what do you suggest to people when they are misaligned with their arousals or their libidos or their desires?
Well, I'm going to ask questions, but to get kind of to the quick and dirty of it, I want to know, one, are they actually having the physical sex that is feeling good enough that would actually create a motivation around it? I can't remember for the life of me right now. We can provide it to your listeners after a book, but that comes out with research. Where actually was looking at a lot of the mismatched arousal or even low libido cases were cases where they found, oh, you know what? When a person was actually having perspective of what quality sex was that they enjoyed, they didn't have this issue where they were seeing that a lot of, for instance, they're looking at women that had a history of sex they did not like, then had low libido, and a lot of times would get divorced, all of a sudden find a younger man, and now all of a sudden menopause would disappear, low libido
different
would
man
disappear. A lot of different things would come out because they were actually being met with something that helped them. And this isn't anything that strange. I mean, I think any guy, if he always had an unpleasurable sexual experience, is going to want sex less and then just kind of be like, oh well, I guess sex isn't my thing, and so their libido is seen as off. Now, so that's the first step, is understanding, is the sex causing pain or numbness? Mm-hmm. Now, let's say that is actually, everything's fine there. And I think this gets very interesting. What I will look at then is, well, what about mental arousal? Because a lot of times in mismatched arousal, you'll have a person who very much wants physical sex and stimulation, but the other person is feeling, well, you can stimulate me, but I actually don't feel turned on with my mind. Are we still here?
Okay.
It froze the screen for me, but
You're frozen on my side.
It's quite an interesting hold there. Okay, there we go.
Okay, yeah, there's like were you referring to Come As You Are by Emily Nagoski?
With what?
With the book Come As You Are. Have you read that? The Science of Sex.
Yes. So this is one of the things that she will speak about with mismatched arousal. And I'm not saying one way or another. I very much understand it because I have people that come to me with it. But as opposed to sometimes people then identifying with being this way or that way, there's often an area that is unexplored that then once it gets explored or a new experience comes about, drastic change happens because we are geared towards pleasure. And so the way that I will then often address this, if there's a mismatch around mental versus physical arousal. And now we're not talking about just, now there are some hormonal issues that definitely can play a huge factor in this in different parts of people's lives. I mean, and it's not even just that. It could be if you're not sleeping, if you're not eating, if you're not getting the kind of physical conditioning, all these things. factor in, but I'm looking at, let's say that that's all taken care of. Let's look at like the toughness, you know, there's no problem there. There is even physical, everything's like working fine, but one person's just like, you know, I'm not mentally into it. Then we start to explore people's fantasies, because you will often find that there are some typical similarities that will come up, a theme that will tend to come up in a fantasy, that then we can go, ah, these are some of the blueprints for the psyche or the mental side of arousal. And we can start to set our partner up in a way that they can play with that. And this is really important, because most people think that mental arousal is something that we don't really have control over. And so understanding, again, that mind-body relationship, I mean, and that's the part I think that there's such a beautiful construct that we are as this living temple of sound and music and water and movement, that we can come together in such a way to create and really start to shift very deep things within ourselves, such as going towards healthier relational patterns, because we start to actually embody and respond and have sex as something that allows us to truly communicate. Are we wanting something more, that isn't something more lustful, or is something more romantic, or is something that is actually quite still, or and what is that dynamism between it? Because if you even look at our attachment patterns, again, we get to that mind-body relationship. Are we avoidant? Well, that sounds bad, but there's also the part of the avoidant part that gets people like, oh, it's the bad boy, it's the that lust side that then also gets taken away from, you know, the long-term relationship. And as well, there's the romantic side, that need for having unity. And so the ability to play between that need for unity and that need to, and the enjoyment of having space to build the charge, secure attachment, and having stability becomes something that becomes much more dynamic and can be adaptive. And how that gets expressed in the act of sex by allowing that full range of spectrum is something that's truly beautiful. And I think that's where we miss the pleasure, the art, and the beauty that I very much want to bring back to the act of penetration.
Well, all that being said, it's I think that sometimes with couples, when also when they are, and that was very well said, what you said. I also think that when they are misaligned, and like Emily Nagoski says, you have some things that are pushing the gas, and some things that are pushing the brake. You have one that is more mentally stimulated. I'm a very big sapiosexual, and you know, I love a man that is passionate about anything he does. He could be talking to me about truck driving, and he's passionate about it. I'm like, oh my God, we should have sex, because you're so passionate about truck driving. So any level of intelligence and passion about any one thing, but finding out, you know, I find that the challenge with you,
I want to do a test with you here then, so that you can actually, I think, maybe understand even more of what I mean around this mental arousal. Because I would ask you, well, what is actually underneath the fact that he's passionate about it and then is telling you about this? So let's, if you take a moment here, close your eyes again.
Okay, I got to close my eyes again.
Anyone can join in on this. And I want you to bring up a fantasy into your mind of a wonderful experience. Don't have to go any more specific than that. And I'm going to start.
Past or future?
Anyone, you can just draw up one. I know drawing up one might be difficult, so you can actually draw them all up if you wish. And we're going to go through and look for certain qualities to see what shows up inside of it. Okay. So,
okay.
Is there a factor? No. So stay where you are in there.
Okay. Okay.
Why do you want to leave? It's your fantasy. Unless your fantasy is something that you don't like. I mean, that's a whole other level. But all right. So, okay. So, is there some sort of factor of anticipation?
No, little anticipation. No, that's not a bigger factor. No.
Is there a factor of immediate sexual arousal? So from going from unaroused to very aroused?
Sometimes. Yes.
There can be more than one here. It's all right. We're just going to keep going through.
More often than not.
Is there some sense of breaking or keeping a rule, so being punished or rewarded?
No. Not unless I'm doing the punishing. No.
Is there a dynamic of power?
Yes. Yes.
Is there a sense of novelty?
No.
Is it particular to a specific environment that's giving the arousal?
Nope.
All right. Go ahead. Now, open your eyes. Now, actually, it's interesting because this is the one that I imagine that you would choose would be that of power, because I would look at you and go, yes, you're sapiosexual and you're very interested in a man that's passionate. And when he's telling you about his passion, he's actually creating this world in which he is actually supreme and number one. You don't care if he is the number one garbage man or if he is the number one rocket scientist, but that he has actually taken and honed himself to the point of being so good to become number one. And by the way, garbage men are amazing.
They make a lot of money.
But put about it, I think it, the number one garbage man in the world, that who could get rid of plastic and waste, like, I mean, this would be an extremely attractive person. So it's that power there that you are driven towards. And so we can start to now position whichever partner or lover you have in more places that power is going to be exuded. It could be by positioning yourself in a way. So now all of a sudden you're down on your knees and you just tell the guy, oh, wow, I love the way that you look from up here. More of this, please. And then have them feel your arousal. This way the guy's already done something. You're showing him what you want. He's already won. And it's also reinforced by your as well as his pleasure. I mean, that's going to be quickly repatterning towards the way that we want the relationship to go, as opposed to how this would normally happen, which is maybe starting to emasculate him and hoping that he would somehow be so manly to then put you in your place. Like, it becomes a much bigger headache.
Like when he says, suck my dick, and I go, make me.
Well, see there, he's already exuding that dominance. So this guy knows what he's doing, and the appropriate response is
make me. Yeah. That's because I'm dominant, and I'm a dominant switch. I can submit for the right dom at the right time, and it does have to be the right dom at the right time, because I'm just not submitting to someone who goes, you know, I'm a dominant. I'm like, and.
And that's why it also probably right now lives a lot in the realm of fantasy.
Because
to find it in reality. And that's something that's important. Some people get very afraid with experimenting with fantasy because they can quickly go to extremes going, oh my goodness, but fantasy never actually has to be realized. And in actuality, in fact, it already happens and will unfold a whole bunch of things that could be, when we have kinks now, is when these fantasies start to twist in weird ways, because we're like, why do we like this? I'm not comfortable with it. Maybe there's judgment and shame around it. But the unwinding of that creates a psychic space, a mental space of such deep, profound pleasure and acceptance that you can start to go way deeper. And then when you begin to live and even use fantasy in this sense with a partner, where you know that partner doesn't have to then force you to do it, you can go into all kinds of places with erotic talk, which we were just speaking before this call about.
There's some erotic words that don't work for me.
And conversation. And that's the thing, though. So for you to be probably, you like, for instance, we said power, but certain aspects of power, such as maybe humiliation, that wouldn't be what you would want. You would want someone that's powerful to even lift you up as like goddess supreme, and then you probably to lift them up and then create this relationship where you're both
like the king that he is.
Precisely. So that's the direction, though, within which power happens to arouse you mentally. So we can become very good at knowing one another's erotic landscape on the mental side as well as that physical side. And so this is kind of the understanding the erotic mind becomes very important. And how do these two come together and actually start to heal some of the different attachment patterns that we think we've been conditioned to, when in fact, we can become very conditioned in a different way, and we're not slaves to just what happened to us as children, for instance.
So tell us about your book, Optimal Sex Life, and then I have one really personal question after that.
Oh, well, answer that then, geez.
Tell us about Optimal Sex Life.
Optimal Sex Life was the book then that I wrote after giving away these, it was over 100 sessions, and I've been told, Aaron, you need to, actually the midwife herself, I had the latter, after, I'd mentioned the first 3 months of 50 women, then the rest of that year, I called professionals, and they all told me you need to start to put down these different techniques into a book, and the midwife said you need to name your own kind of methodology for this. Now, this then started as I was looking at how to use the breath, the movement, and touch specifically in a way that starts to resensitize tissues, release pain. Also, it's going to release different types of negative emotions. And there is a psychological shift that happens away from being negatively conditioned, meaning trying to avoid scenarios we don't want, towards being positively conditioned, which is actually going towards the things that create pleasure and create goodness in our lives. So we become goal-oriented as opposed to oriented. And this has a huge implication when you then look at that journey from letting go of awakening numbness, letting go of pain, and then going into pleasure. And then that book continues into, because this was something that I was very much looking at when I was working in session, but at the same time, I was exploring with my wife, helping her to awaken this, and then seeing, well, given these kind of basic understandings of the whole body and how it works mechanically, but then also understanding that the mind and how the mental and the body work together, how we can start to actually embody and apply these knowings to the act of penetration, since this is something that we don't have much real instruction on, start to awaken the cervix, having all the different erogenous zones coming online. And it just started to change and kind of create this new method that I was seeing was very much the opposite of what people's greatest educator around sex is, which is that of porn.
Porn is entertainment. It's not education, right?
Unfortunately, for those that are watching it, that's what the one visual that they're often getting. Other than that, you kind of have school, you have church telling you what
school doesn't talk about pleasure. It only talks about the act of it, right? So if a guy's not long enough to touch bottom, but he's wide enough to scrape the sides, can he? is that he can still do all these techniques, right? He can still.
Now, this is the thing. Isn't actually particularly important, though. It doesn't really matter what size or shape you are, because if you, relative to the person that you are, let's say, are way too big, that's not going to guarantee that person's pleasure. Yeah. If you are way too small, it's also not going to guarantee that they're not going to have pleasure. I can't tell you how many clients I've had.
Yes, you can. I know.
Self-professed size queens. And when I asked them, well, what was the best sex that you had? You know what? They actually get a little bit puzzled and they go, well, the best orgasm that I had actually during sex came from a guy who is about average or maybe even smaller than average. Yeah. And that's because there is space for the cervix to get erect, actively come down and go like this. Think about it. If a guy's penis isn't erect and you sit there and you smack the base and hit it back, that's not going to feel good to a guy. But yet that's what we do to the cervix.
Exactly.
As opposed to encouraging it to,
to exactly.
Join and come down and meet. So
now personally, so this is kind of a question that porn stars get, right?
Yeah.
So this is what you do for work. You're a porn star and you're having sex kind of mechanically, because I know adult entertainers and they're like, the sex we have on screen is not the sex we have at home.
Exactly.
It's not that sex.
Performance. Right. And I'm not blaming them at all. I mean, this is
No. It's not about them, it's about you. This is about you. So for you, as a person who is scientifically looking at the act of sex and the mental connection with sex and the cognitive semiotic connections with sex.
Getting nerdy on sex, okay? Yes.
Getting nerdy on sex. When you have sex with someone you are connected to, you know, here, here, and here, can you let go of the scientific, cognitive, semiotic stuff that you've learned and that you know, and just have good, passionate fucking without the thought process of, is there cervix grabbing my penis? Is my penis doing what I'm supposed to do? Can you just be, you know, here, here, and here without the thought process of whether something is or isn't sucking? Can you fuck? Can you make love to your woman without the thought process of if everything is mechanically working properly? Can you, huh? Can you tell me?
Yes. And I think it's very important, because the importance of actually being able to also transmit.
No. I want a yes or no. Said,
my first statement was yes.
Yes. Okay. Yes. That's all I want.
There was no hesitation in the
question. It's a yes. Okay. Yes. But go ahead. You're going to give me the
But for me,
though,
you have to understand it. The reason why I say yes is because for me, the importance of this work is really about bringing, as I said, art and beauty, as well as playfulness, back towards into the act of penetration. And this isn't just then something that one kind of does, but also an understanding that this is a part of the way that we can personally develop. This is a part of a way that we can energize the body. This is just an important part of our nutrition, of everything else. And so, yes, from the nerdy side, we can look at all of this. But the other part of me, though, when it comes to really presenting this material, all my videos are really probably around 5 minutes long. You'll see stuff on Instagram, 90 seconds long, because I want this to be practical. I don't want you to have to go out and have to learn all the nerdy stuff, but I want to boil everything down so that you have an understanding of systems, because then you can become playful. And this is really what makes for greatness, is that you don't get stuck in your head and think of techniques. I'm not teaching actual techniques. The less stuff I can teach you so that you can start to then just naturally put it together and be creative and have fun, that's where I want to get people.
Are you... For the videos that are not on social media, but, you know, ones that they go into your classes, are you actually having sex with someone?
No, there is not
going yet? To be.
So that's the thing. It's interesting that you asked that, because we just have been doing these different posts coming out where there's a ton of knowledge around penetration being done with clothes on. And now what ends up happening is that people are actually asking, well, what about a My Fans page? And I think this gets something into something beautiful, because when you start to have suction sex, this doesn't mean that it's slow and camera boring. It's nice to see how this happens. All of a sudden, people would not be just going to click on their normal type of friction-based sex. They would be seeing the body carrying such a greater spectrum. And it will have moments of this, but as opposed to being an A-B destination, all of a sudden sex becomes this cyclical experience that can have, again, like we talked about, the lust, the romance, the intensity, the slowness, and the whole rhythm changing. And sex all of a sudden can go over hours, where it becomes this beautiful dance to behold. And this is something that, yes, people are asking, like, we should probably bring this out.
Not on My Fans or OnlyFans, but I don't know if you're familiar with
Where would you suggest this type
of on your own website, behind a paywall? Kenneth Play, in his courses, he is actually having, you know, he's partially naked, the woman's naked, and he's showing, you know, the for the sex that does have techniques, and he's very much like you. He is very, very much a science nerd. You know, sexual science nerd. Yeah. But he, is showing actual techniques.
I really like his work. Now, I would say, though, that some of these concepts, though, and really begin to understand, again, the importance of suction and reorienting sensation around this is going to create for a very different type of embodiment than people have seen. And it becomes very fluid.
You have to do it.
Yeah,
you have to do it.
Something that I really have to say, like, just go ahead, take a look, for instance, at these basic videos of understanding anatomy, and then how can you use your hands, your mouth, and your or I also have one for women as well to do the exact same thing, to then use their pussy to be able to help men either last longer or help them get more arousal, but building a whole layer of course load that is just simple techniques, going through again each week another piece of anatomy, different ways of stimulating, understanding, to then get this very large change. That's quite
okay. So if you don't want to do it for everyone else, could you just do it for me? You know, for my for educational purposes as a sex goddess, I think I should know these techniques. Yeah, I think I should know these.
I would be very interested to have you go through it and then give you a review.
If I'm not doing it with you, I'm not doing it. That's just how I wrote. So when you're in Cancun, we will do this, or we'll meet up somewhere and we will actually do it.
You want more of a hands-on coaching then?
I want a hands-on, mouth-on, dick-on, body-on coaching session.
Well, there is differences, I think, between a sex coach, a gigolo, and a therapist. So, I mean, we can
Jasmine and King were just talking about a sex surrogate.
Yes. Well, right. So this is quite interesting. Now, if you look at sex surrogacy, you have a very specific setup where you have a sex surrogate worker that's coming in. It's only for a specific limited amount of time. Yep. There's also a third person perspective of a psychologist who is specifically trained in this, and then the client. And we think about, well, how do we help then a client that often is struggling with something? So this is, again, in the more therapeutic sense. But what about optimization? What if you are a bomb-ass businesswoman who has spent, you know, her life really focusing on becoming the best in her field, but then hasn't taken care of things maybe relationally, because it just, these things take time. Yes. And now all of a sudden isn't coming from a place of, hey, I'm broken, everything works fine, society would love to be with her so much so that they actually maybe don't even figure out what she really wants, but instead, how does she begin to optimize and then start to bring sex and relationship as a generative force towards her creativity, towards her relationship, or towards her work, as so it's not a distraction, but something that complements and supplements. These are the type of programs that I'm very interested in helping people begin to construct and do personalized programs that then begin to optimize as well. So that is my bespoke program that you read about, for instance.
Yes. I am excited about all the things you do with all the parts of your body that you do it with. And
my goodness gracious.
Listen, Aaron, this has been an amazing conversation with lots of good information. And I really want to thank you for being on the show today. I know it took us months to coordinate and you're traveling and the emails weren't going through, but I'm so happy that you did find the time to join us today.
Thanks for having me. And you're just so much fun. So I really appreciate your voice being out there and bringing me on.
Well, thank you. So for my audience, to stay up to date with Aaron Michael, you can check out his website at bedroommasterclass.com. His IG is Suction Sex, correct? And Facebook, Optimal Sex Life, where you can find his book. We will put everything in the show notes in case I've missed anything. And of course, to stay up to date with Sisters of Sexuality, our website is of the same name. And if you have any questions for me or any of our guests, you can email me at sistersofsexuality@gmail.com. And of course, be sure to visit our sister site, Organic Lovin', for all of your organic, intimate body needs for you and the bodies you like to love. And if you like this episode, please leave a comment and review, share, like, subscribe. And until next week, stay sexy. Bye-bye.